More than 180 companies are now developing CAR T-cell therapies. Just a few years ago, this was a niche scientific experiment. Today, it's a global industrial race. What happens when a medical revolution starts to scale? Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, the weekly briefing for professionals in US and European industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, we're tracking a surge of developments in one of the most advanced areas of biotechnology, cell and gene therapy. We've seen a flood of clinical trial data, major manufacturing expansions, and new regulatory guidance from the FDA.
That's right. The key theme is maturation. This technology is moving out of the purely research phase and into industrial-scale manufacturing and commercialization. The implications for supply chains, investment, and competition are profound.
So, for our listeners in manufacturing, technology, and trading, this isn't just about medicine. It's about a new, high-value industrial sector being born. We'll break down what it is, why it matters now, and the specific actions Western executives should consider. Let's start with the big name everyone knows, CRISPR. We saw a lot of news from CRISPR Therapeutics this week. What's the headline development?
The headline is commercial reality. CRISPR Therapeutics reported that in 2025, 64 patients were treated with its therapy, Casgevy, generating $4.1 million in sales. The company is now highlighting a diverse pipeline of five other clinical stage therapies at major investor conferences this month.
So, a technology that won a Nobel Prize is now a product with a price tag, generating real revenue? Why is this a major global signal this week?
Because it validates the entire gene editing thesis for investors in the market. The high volume of call options for CRISPR Therapeutics stock, noted on June 4th, reflects this confidence. It's no longer theoretical, it's a business. This success, along with Intellia Therapeutics' positive Phase 3 data for its own CRISPR therapy, Lonvo-Z, signals that the first wave of commercial gene editing products is here.
How does this specifically affect U.S. and European manufacturers?
For specialized biopharma manufacturers, this is a massive opportunity. Casgevy uses an ex vivo process, meaning a patient's cells are extracted, edited in a lab, and then reinfused. This is a complex, high-value manufacturing service. European and U.S. CDMOs, contract development and manufacturing organizations, that can master these workflows will have a significant competitive advantage.
And for trading and distribution companies?
The logistics are incredibly demanding. This is a vein-to-vein supply chain involving cryopreservation, GPS-tracked shipping, and absolute chain of custody integrity. Western logistics firms specializing in cold chain for cell therapies are mission-critical partners. Sourcing the highly specialized reagents and equipment for the editing process is also a new market.
So, what's the actionable insight for executives?
If you're in or adjacent to the life sciences sector, you need to map your company's capabilities against this emerging ex vivo manufacturing ecosystem. Can you supply the viral vectors, the specialized plastics, the cold chain logistics? This is a ground floor opportunity to become a key supplier in a decade-long growth industry.
Troy, that ex vivo process sounds incredibly complex and personalized. A big theme across at least 10 reports this week was a move towards something called off-the-shelf therapies. What is that, and why is it so important?
It's the next industrial revolution for this sector. Instead of using a patient's own cells, companies are engineering universal donor cells from induced pluripotent stem cells, or iPSCs. These are master cells that can be expanded in massive quantities and differentiated into any cell type, creating a standardized, scalable product that can be given to any patient.
So it's the difference between a custom-tailored suit and when you buy off the rack.
Exactly, but a very advanced one. We saw a wave of news on this. Fate Therapeutics presented positive Phase 1 data for its iPSC-derived therapy for colorectal cancer. Sana Biotechnology is starting trials this year for its hypoimmune iPSC therapy for type 1 diabetes in a new partnership with Mayo Clinic. And Century Therapeutics is presenting its own iPSC product for diabetes on June 5th.
This sounds like a direct challenge to the personalized model we just discussed. What does this mean for U.S. and European manufacturers?
It fundamentally changes the manufacturing paradigm. The challenge shifts from managing thousands of individual patient batches to massive centralized bioreactor capacity. This week, Fujifilm, a major player, announced it is quadrupling its iPSC manufacturing capacity at its new facility in Madison, Wisconsin. This signals a major bet on the iPSC model. European and U.S. manufacturers must decide if they are competing in the personalized space or investing in the infrastructure for large-scale allogeneic or off-the-shelf production.
What should trading companies and distributors be aware of here?
The sourcing changes. Instead of a patient-specific loop, this is a classic pharmaceutical distribution model, from a central manufacturing plant to hospitals globally. However, these are still living cellular products. The need for sophisticated cryopreservation and logistics remains, but the scale is an order of magnitude larger. Partnerships become critical. We saw Made Scientific and Pluristyx announce a deal on June 4th to integrate Pluristyx clinical-grade iPSC lines directly into Made's manufacturing services.
And the actionable takeaway for our listeners?
Executives need to evaluate the iPSC platform as a strategic threat and opportunity. If your business supports personalized therapies, you need a strategy for the shift to off-the-shelf products. If you're a manufacturer, the race to build large-scale GMP-compliant iPSC facilities is on. Fujifilm's move is a clear shot across the bow.
With all this rapid innovation, the regulators must be running to keep up. On June 2nd, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, issued new draft guidance. What was it about?
It's about accelerating development by leveraging prior knowledge. The FDA is now explicitly encouraging companies to use data from existing platform technologies to streamline approvals for new therapies, especially for rare diseases. This means a company doesn't have to reinvent the wheel for every single product.
So if you've proven your delivery method is safe in one drug, you can use that safety data to support the next drug using the same method?
Precisely. It applies to manufacturing controls, non-clinical safety data, and even clinical data. This is a direct response to the complexity of these therapies. Japan's regulators are also adapting. On June 5th, the MHLW issued a re-notification on its Cartagena Act, clarifying the handling of genetically modified organisms in labs and factories, showing they are formalizing the rules for this growing industry.
What's the implication for U.S. and European manufacturers in this space?
This is a huge advantage for companies with established, robust technology platforms. Think of Voyager Therapeutics, which just got FDA clearance for a gene therapy for Alzheimer's using its AAV vector platform. Or ReproCell in Japan, which is now using AI-designed CRISPR on its stem edit platform to improve precision. A strong, well-documented platform is now a major regulatory and competitive asset. It can dramatically cut down development time and cost.
How should trading and distribution partners view this regulatory shift?
This signals market stability and predictability. Clear regulatory pathways reduce risk for everyone in the value chain. Distributors should look to partner with companies that have strong platform technologies, as they are more likely to get products to market faster and build a sustainable pipeline. Market timing is key, and this guidance helps predict which technologies will lead.
So, the actionable advice for executives?
We're seeing the strategic review of technology platforms, both your own and your competitors. The new FDA guidance makes the quality and breadth of a company's underlying platform a bankable asset. For investors and potential partners, scrutinizing a company's platform data is now as important as looking at the results for a single drug.
Finally, Troy, a lot of these therapies have targeted very rare diseases, but we're now seeing a clear expansion into much larger health crises. What did we see this week?
We're seeing the next frontier. On June 4th, Blue Rock Therapeutics initiated patient enrollment for a phase 3 trial using iPSC-derived neurons to treat Parkinson's disease, a condition affecting millions. And on June 1st, Voyager Therapeutics received IND clearance from the FDA for the first-ever tau-targeted gene therapy for Alzheimer's disease. This is a move into the largest and most challenging neurodegenerative diseases.
This dramatically increases the potential market size. How does this shift affect manufacturers in the U.S. and Europe?
It raises the stakes on manufacturing scale. Treating a few thousand patients with a rare disease is one thing. Treating millions with Parkinson's or Alzheimer's requires an entirely different industrial capacity. This is why Fujifilm's expansion is so timely. It also requires extreme precision. The Ohio State University vaccine for leishmaniasis, which just got FDA approval for a phase 1 trial, uses CRISPR to edit a live parasite. That's a new category of biological manufacturing altogether.
And for trading and distribution networks?
This is a test of global reach.
A therapy for Alzheimer's needs to be available in every major medical center in North America and Europe. This requires a robust, scalable, and validated global cold chain network that likely doesn't exist yet at the required capacity. Sourcing will also become more global. We're seeing innovation from U.S. firms like BlueRock, Australian companies like Sonata Therapeutics with their osteoarthritis trial, and Japanese firms like ReproCell.
What should Western executives be doing now to prepare for this?
They should begin strategic planning for therapies targeting large population chronic diseases. This means forecasting the manufacturing and logistics capacity that will be needed in the next 5 to 10 years. A U.S. or European company that can build a GMP facility to produce a Parkinson's therapy for 100,000 patients a year, or a logistics network to deliver it, will dominate the market. The time to start that planning is now.
All right, a lot of deep technical intelligence this week. Troy, can you summarize the key strategic takeaways for our listeners?
Certainly. Three main points for U.S. and European leaders this week. First, the commercial era of gene editing has arrived, with CRISPR Therapeutics reporting millions in sales for Casgevy. These are no longer science projects. They are high-value, complex products creating new manufacturing and supply chain ecosystems right now.
Second,
the manufacturing model is undergoing a seismic shift towards off-the-shelf iPSC-based therapies. The investments by firms like Fujifilm and the pipelines of Sana and Fate Therapeutics indicate that the future is scalable, standardized cell products. This is a direct challenge to the initial patient-specific model.
And the final takeaway.
Third, both technology platforms and regulatory frameworks are maturing in lockstep. The new FDA guidance rewards companies with robust, reusable platforms, accelerating the path to market. Western executives must now assess companies not just on a single product, but on the strategic value of their underlying technology platform and its ability to navigate these streamlined pathways.
That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. Thank you for joining us. We hope this analysis provides the clarity you need to navigate the week ahead.
We'll be back next week with another deep dive into the technology developments shaping global industry.
Make sure you subscribe to Troy Technical Intelligence wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an update. Until next time.